Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hi there, Herman and Corin. So I'd love to chat today about the process of signing and authenticating PDF documents. So I was recently opening up a PDF that was issued here in Israel by a government agency. And as you guys might know, PDF support on Linux is kind of subpar. Like a lot of things, that we don't have the best support for PDFs, but it's gotten, there's a couple of cross-platform tools that are kind of halfway decent, but it was able to show that there was an embedded signature. And when I went over to click into that window, it said that it was signed by the Ministry of whatever it was, digitally, certificate, authority, and all the other details attesting to its authenticity. And it was interesting to me because for some time I wanted to have a digital signature, even just for business documents, and I wasn't quite sure how to go about doing that. When I looked at the signature that they had and a certificate authority, it reminded me a lot of SSL certificates, the certificates you can buy for a website. And I guess I've tried a couple of times. The only times I've really had experience with SSL certs are when things go wrong, like when you're provisioning a new domain name or a website and you get either, you know, messy issues like mixed HTTP and HTTPS, or you try to do a self-issued certificate. But increasingly, it's something that's handled by other people, like Cloudflare, for example. If you put a website behind Cloudflare, they do something magical that handles all those issues and you don't have to worry about it. So it's one of those things that I guess I'd rather not, until I've had a reason to think about it, I haven't dealt with directly purchasing standalone SSL certs before. But I was looking into how it's possible to do it. And one of the answers I got was that you can pay like a yearly subscription with a certification authority, a CA, in order to get your own certificate that you can then use in documents. So I guess I was very curious as to how that process works. What is it about a CA that makes it more legitimate than if I just create a self-signed one? And the government process, which I have yet to get an answer about from them, but the government here in Israel has some kind of a process whereby you physically show up to an office. They're trying to do it now so that it's like just a certificate file. But they don't seem to have finished the rollout. So for now, it seems to be that you still need to show up to an office. You get a USB key containing your certificate and then use that for authentication. They also have a totally standalone system for government workers to access government resources, again, based on the presence of a physical USB containing something, some medium. So I guess it brings us back in a roundabout way to our discussions about pass keys, biometric authentication, and all the different ways that are out there. The issue I have, I guess, if I were working in government, or the shortcoming I can point to about this model is that PayPal, I think, a few services have their own standalone hardware factors. And if you happen to be, for whatever reason, working in government and you needed two USB keys plus one for PayPal plus one for something else and one for something else again, you see what the point I'm trying to make. You'd end up with this huge jumble of physical USB keys to bring around with you, which isn't a very elegant or practical solution. So Herman and Corin, I'm wondering what the trends are in document certification. Why is it that you have to go to the same people you do when you buy an SSL cert to buy something for your PDF? And let's say that I do purchase from DigiCert or one of these providers for my $100, I say it's me and I sign that in PDF. What does that prove actually from the other, from the perspective of maybe something I'm trying to authenticate as being me? Herman and Corin, let's talk about digital document signing today, PDF signing and SSL certificates.
Hey everyone, welcome back to My Weird Prompts. I am Corn, and I am joined as always by my brother, Herman Poppleberry.
Hello, hello. It is great to be here. We have a really meaty one today, Corn. Our housemate Daniel was actually wrestling with this just the other day. He was sitting at his desk, surrounded by three different laptops and a pile of USB dongles, looking like he was trying to hack into a 1990s mainframe.
I saw that. He was trying to open a government document on his Linux machine, right? And if you have ever tried to deal with official PDFs on Linux, you know the struggle is real. It is like the final frontier of desktop Linux. Everything works perfectly. Your drivers are fine. Your games run through Proton. Your development environment is a dream, until you need to sign a tax form or verify a government decree. Suddenly, you are hunting for proprietary libraries just to see a signature.
Exactly. And Daniel's prompt really gets to the heart of that frustration. He noticed that the signature on this Israeli government PDF was backed by a certificate authority, the same kind of people who sell SSL certificates for websites. He wanted to know why we use the same providers, what that signature actually proves, and how it compares to things like passkeys or those physical USB keys that seem to be multiplying in everyone's desk drawers.
It is a great question because we often treat a digital signature as just a fancy version of an image of our handwriting, but underneath the hood, it is pure math and a very specific kind of trust. So, let's start with the basics, Herman. When Daniel sees that blue bar at the top of a PDF saying the document is certified, what is actually happening? What is the technology doing?
Right, so we need to separate the visual representation from the cryptographic reality. The little squiggly line that looks like your name, that is just a picture. It has zero legal or technical weight on its own. You could put a picture of a potato there and the cryptography would still work. The actual digital signature is a piece of metadata embedded in the PDF file structure. It relies on something called Public Key Infrastructure, or PKI.
PKI is one of those terms that sounds intimidating, like something you would hear in a high-level security briefing, but it is basically just a pair of keys, right?
Precisely. It is the foundation of almost everything secure on the internet. You have a private key, which you keep secret and never share with anyone, and a public key, which you give to everyone. They are mathematically linked in a way that what one key locks, only the other can unlock. When you sign a document, the software takes a hash of the entire file. A hash is like a unique digital fingerprint. If you change even one comma or add a single space to that document, the hash changes completely.
Okay, so the hash proves the document hasn't been tampered with. It is like a wax seal on an envelope. If the seal is broken, you know someone looked inside. But how does it prove I was the one who signed it?
That is where the private key comes in. Your signing software takes that hash, that digital fingerprint, and encrypts it using your private key. The result of that encryption is the digital signature. Now, anyone who has your public key can decrypt that signature and get the original hash back. Then, their software calculates the hash of the document they are looking at right now. If the two hashes match, it proves two things. First, that the document hasn't been altered since it was signed, and second, that only someone with your specific private key could have created that signature. It is called non-repudiation.
Non-repudiation. That is a big word. It basically means you can't say, it wasn't me, because the math says it had to be you.
Exactly. Unless, of course, someone stole your key, which is why the hardware part of Daniel's question is so important. But before we get to the USB sticks, let's address his point about the certificate authorities. Why is it that when I go to buy a document signing certificate, I'm looking at names like DigiCert or Sectigo or GlobalSign? Why is the same company that secures my browser connection also the one telling the world that my PDF is legitimate?
It feels like a monopoly on trust, doesn't it?
It is more like an economy of scale for trust. Think about it this way. If I give you a public key and say, hey Corn, this is my key, you might believe me because we have been brothers for decades. But if someone from across the world sends you a signed document, how do you know the public key actually belongs to them? You need a third party that both of you trust to vouch for that identity. These certificate authorities, or CAs, are that digital notary.
And they have to be incredibly reliable for this to work.
Oh, absolutely. These companies go through what are called web trust audits. They are incredibly rigorous, multi-month examinations of their physical security, their software, their hiring practices, everything. Because they have passed these audits, their own root certificates are pre-installed in your operating system and your browser. When you buy a certificate from them, they are performing a vetting process. For a basic individual certificate, they might just check your email. For a high assurance business certificate, they are checking government IDs, business registrations, and sometimes even doing a video call to prove you are a real human.
So because Adobe and Microsoft and Apple already trust DGCert's root certificate for web traffic, it makes sense to use that same established infrastructure for documents. If they trust them to verify that Google.com is actually Google, they can trust them to verify that Herman Poppleberry is actually Herman Poppleberry.
Right. But there is a subtle difference in the standards. For a website, you use TLS certificates. For documents, we use the X509 standard, but with specific extensions for document signing. And this brings us to the blue bar, Daniel saw. Adobe has something called the AATL, or the Adobe Approved Trust List. It is a private club of CAs that Adobe has personally vetted to meet their specific requirements for PDFs. If your CA isn't on that list, Adobe Acrobat will show a big yellow question mark or a red X, even if the signature is mathematically perfect.
That explains why Daniel was so frustrated. He was probably using a perfectly valid government certificate, but because he was on Linux using an open source viewer, it didn't have access to Adobe's private list of trusted partners.
Precisely. On Linux, viewers like Ocular or Evans rely on a different set of trust anchors. They often use the NSS database, that is, Network Security Services, which is the same one Firefox uses. So if you want your Linux PDF viewer to recognize a signature, you often have to manually import the root certificate into your Firefox certificate store first. It is a very Linux solution to a very corporate problem.
It sounds like a nightmare for the average user. But Daniel also mentioned the physical USB keys. In Israel and in many other places like Estonia, or even for certain US government contractors, you can't just have a file on your computer. You get a physical token. Why the extra step?
This is where we get into the different tiers of electronic signatures. Under the European EIDAS regulation, which is the gold standard for this stuff, there are three levels. First, you have the simple electronic signature. That is just typing your name at the bottom of an email. It has very little legal weight. Then you have the Advanced Electronic Signature, or AES. This uses PKI and a certificate, but the key might just be a file on your laptop.
And the third one is the big one, right?
Yes, the Qualified Electronic Signature, or QES. To get a QES, your private key must be stored on what is called a Qualified Signature Creation Device. That is usually a physical USB token or a smart card that meets the FIPS 142 or 143 security standards. These devices are actually tiny computers. They are hardware security modules, or HSMs. The private key is generated inside the chip on that USB stick, and it is designed so that the key can never, ever leave the chip. You can't copy it. You can't back it up. If you lose the stick, the key is gone forever.
So when Daniel clicks sign, the PDF doesn't actually see his key?
Never. The computer calculates the hash of the document and sends that tiny string of data to the USB stick. The stick asks Daniel for a PIN, signs the hash internally using the private key, and sends only the finished signature back to the computer. This provides the highest level of security because even if Daniel's computer is infected with the most advanced malware in the world, the hacker can't steal the key. They might be able to trick him into signing one wrong document while the stick is plugged in, but they can't take the identity with them.
I can see why governments love that, but the user experience is just brutal. Daniel was complaining about the jumble of keys. He has a UBI key for his logins, a government key for his taxes, maybe another key for work. It feels like we are going backward to a world where we carry around a physical ring of digital keys. Is there any move toward making this easier in 2026?
There is, and it is actually the biggest trend in the industry right now. It is called remote signing, or cloud HSM. Instead of you carrying the USB stick, the certificate authority keeps your private key in a massive, high-security hardware module in their data center. When you want to sign something, you authenticate to them using your phone, usually with a biometric scan like Face ID or a fingerprint. They then use your key to sign the document on their end and send it back.
Wait, doesn't that mean I have to trust the CA with my private key? Doesn't that break the whole only I have the key rule?
It is a trade-off. But under EID AS 2.0, which is being rolled out across Europe right now, these remote signing service providers are heavily regulated. They have to prove that they cannot use your key without your explicit multi-factor authorization. This is the backbone of the new European Digital Identity Wallet. The goal is a widespread rollout of the European Digital Identity Wallet across the EU in the coming years, allowing citizens to use their phone as a qualified signature device. No more USB sticks, no more smart card readers. Just your phone and your face.
That sounds a lot like passkeys. Daniel asked about the comparison there. If I use a passkey to log into my bank, is that the same thing as digitally signing a document?
They are cousins, but they have different jobs. Passkeys are based on the FIDO2 standard. They are amazing for authentication, proving to a server right now that you are you so you can log in. They are fast and they stop phishing. But a PDF signature is about long-term validation. A passkey login is a conversation between you and a website that happens in milliseconds. A signed PDF is an object that might sit in a digital archive for 50 years.
So the PDF signature has to carry its own proof with it.
Exactly. When you sign a PDF at the highest level, what we call PADES, or PDF Advanced Electronic Signatures, the file includes something called Long-Term Validation Information, or LTV. This embeds the entire chain of trust right into the file. It includes the CA certificate, the proof that your certificate wasn't revoked at the exact second you signed it, and a trusted timestamp from a third party. This means that 20 years from now, even if the CA has gone out of business and the internet has changed completely, someone can open that file offline and mathematically prove it was valid when it was signed.
That is a huge distinction. A passkey gets you through the door, but a PDF signature is the permanent record of what you did once you were inside. Now, I want to go back to Daniel's Linux problem for a second. Why is it that even in 2026, we are still struggling with this? If it is all just math, why does the software matter so much?
It is the middleware problem. To talk to those USB keys or smart cards, your computer needs a driver, but it also needs a library called PKCS11. On Windows, this is all handled by the Microsoft Crypto API, and it is mostly invisible. On Linux, you have to make sure the TPCSED service is running, you need the TopensQL package, and then you have to tell your PDF viewer exactly where the SO file for the driver is located. If any of those pieces are missing or the versions don't match, the whole thing falls apart. It is a classic case of the technology being ready, but the desktop integration being fragmented.
It's also the Adobe factor, right? They basically wrote the book on PDFs.
They did. For a long time, the PDF spec was proprietary. Now it is an ISO standard, but Adobe still has a huge influence. They created the AATL and the EUTL, the European Union Trust List, integration in Acrobat. If you are a developer making an open source viewer, you are constantly playing catch up with how Adobe implements new features. For example, Adobe recently started pushing for seals instead of signatures.
What is the difference between a seal and a signature?
A signature is for a person, Herman Poppleberry. A seal is for a legal entity, the My Weird Prompts Podcast Corporation. Seals are used for automated things, like when a bank issues a million monthly statements. They don't want a person to sign each one, so they use an electronic seal. It provides the same integrity and authenticity, but it represents the organization rather than an individual.
That makes sense. Now, Herman, we have to talk about the elephant in the room. We are in early 2026, and everyone is talking about quantum computers. Daniel's prompt didn't mention it, but I know you've been losing sleep over it. If our current signatures are based on RSA or elliptic curve math, and quantum computers can break that math, are all our signed documents about to become worthless?
It is a massive concern. There is a strategy called Harvest Now, Decrypt Later. Hackers are stealing signed PDFs today and just storing them, waiting for a quantum computer powerful enough to crack them in 5 or 10 years. Once they can do that, they can forge signatures on old contracts or read encrypted government files. This is why the industry is moving toward PQC, or post-quantum cryptography.
I remember you mentioning dilithium earlier. Is that still the plan?
Yes, NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, finalized the standards in August 2024. They gave them new names. Dilithium is now officially MLDSA, which stands for Module Lattice Based Digital Signature Algorithm. Kyber is now MLKEM for Key Encapsulation. In 2026, we are seeing the first hybrid signatures. ACA will sign your PDF twice, once with traditional RSA so today's software can read it, and once with MLDSA so that it remains secure even when quantum computers arrive.
That is incredible. We are literally building a bridge to a future where the current laws of digital physics might not apply. It really highlights why you need these big certificate authorities. You or I can't implement a hybrid MLDSA signature on our own. We need an organization whose entire job is to stay ahead of that curve.
Exactly. You are paying for the research and the infrastructure. You are paying for someone to watch the NIST announcements so you don't have to. And you are paying for the revocation system. If a CA realizes one of their root keys has been compromised, they have to be able to tell every computer in the world to stop trusting it within minutes. That ecosystem of revocation, using things like OCSP, the Online Certificate Status Protocol, is what makes the whole thing work.
So, to wrap this up for Daniel and everyone else listening, a digital signature proves the document hasn't changed. It proves who you are, because a trusted third party vetted you, and it makes the signature legally binding in a way that is very hard to take back. It is more secure than a passkey for long-term records, but it is currently more of a headache to use, especially if you are a Linux fan.
But it is getting better. Between the EU Digital Identity Wallet and the move toward cloud-based signing, the era of the USB jumble is coming to an end. We are moving toward a world of verifiable credentials. Instead of sending a PDF of your university diploma, you will send a tiny digital token that the employer's system can verify instantly against the university's public key. The document itself becomes secondary to the data it contains.
I love that. A world with no more subpar PDF support on Linux because the PDF itself isn't the point anymore. We can dream, Herman. We can dream.
Until then, keep your EpiCSD running and your Firefox certificate store clean.
Words to live by. Well, I think we've covered the what and the why of it. Thanks to Daniel for the prompt that sent us down this rabbit hole. It is questions like these that keep us curious about the invisible plumbing of the internet.
It really is. We've been doing this for 325 episodes now, and the community just keeps growing. If you have your own weird prompt, or if you've spent your afternoon trying to get a smart card reader to work on Arch Linux, we want to hear from you.
You can find us at our website, myweirdprompts.com. We have a contact form there, and you can browse our full archive of episodes. And if you are listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review. It genuinely helps the show reach more people who are interested in the technical nuances of our world.
It really does. We appreciate every single one of you.
Thanks for joining us, Herman. This has been My Weird Prompts. I'm Korn.
And I'm Herman Poppleberry. We will see you next time.
Stay curious, everyone. Bye.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox Turbo.
Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.